St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for today. Our new racial reconciliation group, Becoming the Beloved Community, meets on Tuesdays at 6:15, starting this Tuesday, July 21st. If you have an interest in that group, please contact Leanne. Our Gospel of Matthew Bible study group continues. It's moved to Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. If you have any interest in that group, contact Margaret. You can join at any time. And the Vestry met this week with Bishop Megan and Canon Andrea to discuss our upcoming search process and getting an interim priest for St. Luke's. So those conversations are ongoing, and I'm going to keep you updated. We have more meetings planned with them in the future. On the website for the church, we've put up a page called About the Search Process that tells you what our timeline is and our progress, both in getting an interim and in the search process. So check that out. And if you have any questions, let us know. This is a living document. We're going to continue to update it with more information and more details as we move forward on this path. Also up on the website this week, we put in the survey results that everybody took regarding reopening the church and our reopening plan. I'm going to put a little caveat in that says, you know, I'm sure many of you saw that the governor has asked many counties, including ours, to dial back reopening plans, generally speaking, and houses of worship were on that list. So we're in no place to push forward with an opening just yet. We need to wait for the COVID numbers to look a little bit better and for the governor to give us the okay before we can pick up that conversation again. But we do have a plan in place on how we would like to reopen the church at some point in the future when we are permitted to do that and it's the right choice for us to make. I encourage everybody to take a look at it. This too is a living document. We will update it as information changes. As has been the case over the evolution of this pandemic, information changes frequently. But I would also like to update it with any information from the congregation. It takes so many people to pull off worship every week. And if you look at this and you're thinking, wait, I'm on Altar Guild, and that's just so not going to work the way you guys are planning it. Please call us and let us know so we can include your input in how this plan is going to work, because the cleaner we have it, then, you know, that when that day comes where we can't all reopen the church and get together, the smoother everything will go. I know it seems far off right now, but we will be back together. We just have to hang in there a little bit longer.
I'd also like to put a thank you out there to Lauren and Greg on our Resource Navigators team for continuing to provide us with links for dealing with shelter-in-place conditions and other COVID concerns. I updated our COVID page on the website with a new batch of links that they just sent along. So thank you to that team for working so hard to keep everybody safe and informed.
So that's all I have this morning. Everybody have a wonderful day. And if you have any questions or problems, please reach out to the church office or call a vestry member. Thank you very much.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our reading from the book of Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went down towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquitted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are also there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast. If I say, Surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night. Darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my restless thoughts. Look well, whether there be any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Another parable Jesus put before the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' The master answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he replied, 'No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of our Savior. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I need to begin with a confession. I am neither a farmer nor even a gardener, and I know next to nothing about farming practices. When Jesus spoke in parables, he spoke to an audience that knew quite a bit more about planting and harvest than I know. These people were mostly subsistence farmers, utterly dependent on the harvest from their fields. If the harvest was good, they would live. If the harvest failed, they would starve. Some things were beyond their control. Would there be enough rain or too much? Would there be a late frost or an early winter? Some things depended on their knowledge and expertise. Did they prepare the ground? Did they sow good seed? Did they harvest at the right time? When Jesus spoke in parables, he used imagery appropriate for his listeners. Yet Jesus isn't being the master gardener. We know that what he was talking about was the kingdom of God, an elusive concept for us and to his original audience. His message is for us, even when the closest we get to the fields is buying produce at the farmer's market or from a roadside stand. Perhaps we don't spend all our energy focusing on the reign of God, but most of us have some concern about the balance of good and evil, especially when we think that evil has gained the upper hand. It is difficult to resist the allegorical interpretation that comes along with the parable. Jesus told the story, but the gospel writer couldn't resist adding the interpretation. The allegory sucks us in, and we see ourselves as that wheat in the fields, and wondering if the person sitting next to us, in our old life at least, when we came to church in person, is wheat or weeds. We want to know. We want to be sure. Much of this story is about viewpoint. We need to think about our vantage point. Is it different if I look at it from this side rather than the other side? And we need to think carefully about what we are seeing. We also need to remember that it may be difficult to see clearly and that things are not always simple and clear-cut. Discerning the meaning of a parable is much like looking at a precious stone. We may need an eyepiece to help us to see the details, the finer points. First of all, let's talk about the crop. Jesus' listeners would have known that wheat and darnel, the weeds, would be virtually identical. They would also have known that trying to rip out the weeds would destroy the wheat. And they would have known that even if they had sown perfectly good wheat seed, there would always be some weeds that grow along with the wheat. The reign of God, the manner and places where God is working, cannot be reduced to one neat formula. Even Jesus could not package God in such a clear, sure way. It would have been nice if he had been able to do that. It would be easier for us. All the ambiguities would be removed, and we would have a handle on God. The problem is, of course, then God wouldn't be God. Jesus is clear that God isn't so easily summed up. That's why he spoke of God and God's kingdom in parables instead of formulas. And these parables can still speak to us, even when we're not so familiar with nets and yeast, seeds and sowers. They can speak to us because they touch what we share with those who first heard them. Basic human fears, hopes, dreams, ambitions, and yearnings. They can speak to us because of those other things we share with the first listeners. Our failure to see, our slowness in understanding, our indifference to God's will for us. They can speak to us because we wonder how God works in the world, why bad things happen to good people, why evil seems to win and good to lose. In the Gospel of Matthew, the parables are to encourage us. If we pay attention and look closely, we can get a glimpse of God's reign and can see the hand of God at work. but we need to train our eyes and ears, and we need to pay attention. So let's look at the parable again and see if it has more for us than wheat and weeds. The parable shows us the situation as God sees it, which is larger than just the field. If we zoom out, we see some of the characters in the parable, the servants and the householder. The servants see the weeds in among the wheat. The first thing they do is search for someone to blame. They go to their master and, in effect, ask him to give an account of himself. Did he sow good seed or not? Then they want to rush into the field and yank out anything that looks to them like a weed. In the parable, the servants make a number of errors, understandable errors to be sure, in discernment. First, they assume that their goal, a fine field of pure wheat, was within their grasp. Second, they supposed that the harvest depended on them, their efforts and strength, and that the wheat could not grow without their assistance. And third, they questioned the householder's goodness and purpose. When we look at the parable this way and see ourselves as those servants rather than that good-looking wheat, our eyes are opened and we really begin to see. Don't we often assume that we alone know what strategy God has in mind for our situation? Don't we often act as though the harvest depends upon our manipulation of people and situations? Don't we proceed as though we were not living by grace, thinking that the Holy Spirit has little or nothing to do with the situation, any situation before us? Don't we act as though the field belongs to us rather than the householder? The parable of the wheat and weeds is one that points to the end of time when Christ will gather the harvest. While it may be frustrating for us to wait for God's time, we can live in hope, for evil will not have the last word. Our challenge is to live faithfully in this time of waiting. If we are indeed the servants in the parable, we need to live in thanksgiving for the privilege of being in relationship with the householder. Instead of throwing up our hands that things are out of our control, we need to participate in God's ongoing work in the world. And we need to look forward with hope to God's future when perfect justice and righteousness will be accomplished. So this week, I invite you to join me in trying to be a faithful and discerning servant, trying to refrain from judgment, and trusting that we don't have to be the ones in charge. And remember that this parable is also one of mercy. While things will be sorted out someday, there is still time for change. Wheat and darnel are just that, wheat and weeds. But by the grace of God, people can be transformed from one thing to another, something that's not possible with wheat and weeds.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may her treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors.
We remember especially Nancy Mack and Charles and their family. Who is on your heart this morning?
God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your disciples, peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with God and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.